This is the third Sunday in February. February has been tapped as Black History Month. I also want to give a shout out to last Sunday, our fourth in church and pastor anniversary. I never thought I would say this, but I pastored one church for 7 years. Now I'm pastoring this church for 4. You never know what God gonna do, man. You never know what God gonna do. So you have to thank the Lord, God. I've been in the ministry over 30-something years, so I'm grateful for what God can do. Amen? At the beginning of the year, you know, people get off in the resolutions and all that, but I tell people, just make a commitment and try to hold on to the commitment. You know, I tell people, try to read through the Bible and try to stick to things, and usually by the third week, people done already failed. But let me tell you, you can get up and start all over again. So we start a series on things that God cannot do. Now, I know what you're saying, but God can do everything, but there's some things that he will not do. The first thing we talk about, well, God cannot fail. People will fail you, but God cannot, can you say it with me, fail. Cannot fail. God cannot, second time we talk about, God cannot lie. We live in a society where people lie to you all the time. You can't trust people, but God is faithful, amen? He cannot lie. We talked about God wants the best for you. He won't let you drown. If he's a lifeguard, he's going to jump in the water and save you. And last week before the anniversary, we talked about God cannot despise a broken and a contrite spirit. Yeah, people mess up. But when you get broken and you come back, he's a forgiving God. Amen. He won't despise it. You know, people are whole things against you, but God won't. God said, come on. That's why I tell people, you know, you ain't been in the church a long time. Come on, we're glad to have you. I'm not here to browbeat you or beat you over the head. I'm glad that you came today. I'm glad you're back in the house of the Lord. Amen. So this morning, with a host of my family, friends, and visitors, we're going to talk about a real, what I call, touchy subject. But nevertheless, I believe I have to preach the whole counsel. Amen. Amen. Hebrews. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. Like Jerry was teaching, where the Bible is silent, we need to be silent. Stop trying to come up with, now we know Paul wrote 13 epistles, and some people say Paul, but we don't know. It's an unknown. So we're just going to teach from Hebrews chapter 13. This is a Bible-believing church, so you need to follow me in the Bible. I tell people, it's not my philosophy, not my opinion. I'm not into politics. I just teach what thus said the word of God. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. When you get there, say amen, so I know you're there. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at two verses, verse 5 and 6. Then I give you my title and my topic, and then we'll preach for you for just a little while. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, say, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. I'm going to preach a message one day on covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. We always want most of them. No, be content with what you have. For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly, I like that word boldly, say, the Lord is what? My helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I want to preach to you for just a little while on God will never forsake you. The word forsake comes from the word abandon or desert. And we live in a society where people desert you and abandon you in a heartbeat. But God will never forsake you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day. A day that you have made, we'll be glad in it. Thank you for the saints of God. Pray for those, Lord, that are not here, could not be here for whatever reason. Some may be on the bed of affliction, Lord. So I pray that you minister to them where they're at, Lord. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson, Lord, that we had this morning about the paralytic brought on by four. Jesus, they let down, tore up the roof, and Jesus told them his sins be forgiven, take up his bed and walk. And we see that Jesus has power to forgive sins and heal. Thank you for our testimonies that we had this morning, Lord. Thank you for our corporate prayer by Jerry, Lord. Thank you for our time of covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for our time of recognizing birthdays, Lord. And we know that the physical birth is good, but the best birth is the spiritual birth. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you again for, again, our praise team, Lord, our announcement by my wife, Lord, and thank you for the offering. I would like to say we've never been short on meeting our bills, and Lord, we know that's because of you. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony, and I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sins, that you fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I could preach for a little while. Use me as a conduit or vessel to bless your people, Lord. Use these old clay lips to say those things that will build up and edify, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have you ever been left, abandoned? There's a lot of stories to tell about children that the mom and daddy think they have them. They think they're with somebody. They go off and they say, where Johnny at? I thought you had him. I thought, left, abandoned. That happened even to Jesus. You remember that? Jesus was about 12 years old and his parents was in Jerusalem at the Passover. And Mary, I guess, and Joseph say, well, I guess he with Joseph. I guess he with Mary. So we just gone. Well, he with our cousins. They got all back there and they said, where Jesus? Nobody know where he was. That they go back and find him in the temple. So sometimes you get abandoned. How do you feel? A lot of times I had never seen this happen until this society. So many children get abandoned in the mall. They have a place now they call lost kids. I don't know where they come from. I ain't never known people just leave the kids, go around them, where they at? Little bit of children with so much kidnapping and snatching people out to keep up with their children. Now, I've seen people with, and I know y'all might not believe, I've seen people with leases on their children. You can go so far, but I'm bringing you back in. I'm saying, you need to keep up with your children, but abandonment is a topic we have today. I don't know about you, but when a child get abandoned, they feel lonely. I share this with my family since they know. Chris came to visit us one summer. He was about 16, 17 years old, and he had to fly to Nashville. And I was going to drive up to Nashville and pick him up. And I didn't get to the airport by the time the plane landed, so he was with the airport crew. You know how they with the airport crew. Because when you're underage, they be carrying you out. And he was nervous. And he finally saw me coming. I said, M.M. Chris, M.M. Chris. So you get desperate, especially your children. My sister got a granddaughter that fainted at the airport. Y'all know the story. I mean, she fainted. She was by herself. They said, we're going to travel. We used to let Nika travel when she was young and 13. But you get looking for, you don't know nobody. You get afraid. You get desperate. So how do you feel? You feel isolated, rejected, deserted by people, by family, by friends, by coworkers, church members, school buddies, don't have anything to do with you. One of the biggest things today is, and again, I didn't put this together, God put this together, is marriage. Abandonment in marriage. If I could do an apology today for all the children that have been abandoned by their daddy. I was just talking to my brother-in-law last night, and we sit there and almost cried about how many young boys don't have a daddy. Oh, y'all don't mean to preach this morning. They're abandoned. The daddy gone. Oh, I can talk about my own self. Growed up, never seen my daddy. Never didn't know what he looked like until I was 17 years old. So we live in a society where there's abandonment. Men, we just talked about this, abandon their wives. I don't know where that comes from, but God gave us a covenant. It ought to be a vow. My sister asked me about midlife crisis. Where'd that come from? I need a young girl. I'm 45. I need to see if I got it. Go out and get me a 23-year-old. Where'd that come from? Abandon his wife. The Bible says live with the wife of your youth. Don't abandon your wife. Amen? If I could be an apology to all the women that have to take the kids to church without the man. All the women that have to go to, and I got people here in the school system. The PTA meeting is full of women because men have abandoned their children. Oh, y'all want me to preach this morning. We're in a society where abandonment is a normal thing. Let me just flip it a little bit. There have been some women abandoning men in the military. It's pitiful. Go off there. I had a buddy went off in the military, and every year he would send his fiance money home, and he was hoping to have a life. And when he came home, see, dad dumped him and got somebody else. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All that money he sent home. Abandonment. Rejected. Now, that's one thing to be abandoned by people. But sometimes people, we feel we're abandoned by God. When God is silent. Are you listening to me today? When things are going on, you got trauma in the home, you got trauma in the family, or you're in your hospital bed and you cry. And it's like your prayers don't go to the ceiling. But let me give you some good news. God will never abandon you. It might seem like it, but I have a God who will never leave me. He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll be there in the thick and thin, in the murky mire. I will be there for you. No matter what people do, I'm there. Oh, you ain't got to go far. Just ask Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fire in front of him. You ain't got to go far. Just ask Daniel in the lion's den. Just ask him. Everybody left him, but God didn't show up. God showed up. That's a blessing, amen? God will never forsake you. Well, let me say this a bit. And again, I don't know who I'm talking to, but some people abandon their parents when they get old. Oh, you can't do that. Mama come down with Alzheimer's, or you want to put her in a nursing home. Let me tell you, don't abandon your folks. Take care of your folks. Don't abandon your folks. But we abandon folks. And I go to the nursing home. I'm a chaplain, and there have been people in there who say, nobody in my family come see me. Y'all mean to preach this morning, do you? We abandon folks. We don't need to abandon nobody. Everybody needs somebody. Amen? Abandon folks. Situation at school gets unbearable. Situation of stress gets unbearable. We can't understand. And we want to know, where is God? Where is God? John the Baptist in prison. You know the story. And I'm just so you'd understand that John was like you and me. John was the one that saw Jesus. John was the one that told his disciples, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. But when John got in jail and Herod began to get ready to cut his head off, John said, go ask. He didn't abandon me, and he gone. Is he the one? Or should we ask for another one? You do the same thing when you're going through a tough time. When you're in the crucibles of life and everything coming down on you. Folks on your job ain't doing you right. Folks in your home ain't doing you right. And you say, God, where you at? Where you at? Art thou he that cometh? Should we ask? Elijah got like that. Oh, y'all don't mean to preach on Elijah. Anytime a prophet can bring down fire from heaven, slew 450 prophets of Baal, cut out 450, and then Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. He said, God, I'm out of here. I got to go. And then going to go and hide in a cave. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach this morning. Man of God, just done a great work of God. Just slaughtered people. Prayed for 3 years and didn't rain. God, I'm not worried to be alive. Take my life, God. I'm no good. That way we get. Well, yeah, God. Ran outside the cave of thunder. God, you there. No, God wasn't in there. A whirlwind. God, you there. Well, yeah, God. Oh, y'all want me to preach a little bit? Job. Oh, y'all want me to preach Job. Job was a righteous man. God said, Satan, have you considered my servant? Oh, don't let God put you on the spot now. Because you got to be tested. Have you considered my soul? God said, Job. Job went through all that, lost all his children, lost all his wealth. Oh, y'all listen to me this morning. Lost all his health. Had boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Now, I don't want to get on the wife, but the wife said, you ought to just cuss God. I can't understand what's going on here. You talk about that God, and you always talking about he going to show up. Where is he? We done lost everything. I ain't got no money. You ain't. I mean, she got on him that time. But Job had some integrity, didn't he? Oh, yeah. Y'all need to. The Bible say you need to have the patience of Job. Job said, you sound like a fool. Now, he didn't call a fool one. He said, you sound like one. He said, shall we get good at the hand of God and not bless him? Say, naked I came out of my mother's womb. The Lord give it. And the Lord away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, the Lord take my house, he's still God. If the Lord take my church, he's still God. My daughter was on the deathbed. If the Lord had to take her, I could only say he's God. He's still God. He didn't abandon nobody. He's still God. Amen. Oh, Job. Now Job took a roll call. He says, Bildad, present. You know he had them three friends, didn't you? Zophat, present. Eliphaz, present. God, where you at? Now, I want y'all to hear me well. The devil was present, because he can always be there. Let me tell you, the devil going to be right there. So don't expect him to leave, because he going to cause havoc in your life. But if you're in God, don't worry about the devil. He has no power. He's running the power, because the greatest he is in me than he is in the world. So I don't care where the devil is. I got Jesus on my side. I'm in a majority. When God say, well, God, before you, who can what? We need to stop crying. Crying the blues. Don't go on your feeling. Don't go on your feeling. You better go on the word of God. Amen? It's a fact. God told him in the Great Commission, go ye to all the worlds, and I will be with you always, even until the end of time. Let me tell you, God going to be with you. In reality, God never abandon his own. I might not have a father there, but I got a heavenly father. Oh, the Bible says when your mother and father forsake you, the Lord took you in. Folks ask me all the time, how you know how to be a father? I don't know, but God must have taught me. Because I didn't have no example. I didn't have all my, and I don't want to preach hard on my family, but I'm telling you reality. God had to step in and raise me. Nothing. I'm telling you, you have to trust God. Folks abandon you. Folks always ask the question, well, what if they come back into your life? Well, just forgive them, okay? Just forgive them. There ain't no sense in holding on. They human. They make mistakes. I ain't thinking you're a sorry, low-down daddy. You ain't never done nothing for me. That's what people get like. They get ugly on it. And you ain't never, you wasn't here. I heard a guy say, when I graduated from high school, he wasn't there. When I was in there playing football, he wasn't there. I say, leave him alone, okay? He was blind and lost on his way to death here. What he need to see is you forgive him. Say, Dad, I know you wasn't there. But guess what? I done forgave you. Amen? We got to learn how to forgive folks. The greatest forgiver is God, is Christ. Amen? In reality. See, some of us think we like the long range. We think we by ourselves. Let me tell you, God may be silent, but he's still there. Now, sometimes he's silent, but he's still there. Remember Joshua? Joshua had just did a great wall. The walls fell down in Jericho. There was a little old city called Ai. Y'all know the story. Y'all know. Joshua said, we don't need the whole troop. You know how we think we can get things on our own. Just send a few men. Your little old Ai, they can't do nothing. They went up there and they beat him down. Joshua fell on his face. The Lord, where you at? Well, yeah, God ain't gone nowhere. Now, God did say there's sin in the camp. See, God ain't going to bless you when you're in sin. And God said in the camp, even though one man has sinned, the whole nation is lost. So don't be blaming God when he showed up and there's some sin in the camp. I even have preachers that say, I had to go to God and say, God, you need to expose what's going on. I don't know why this didn't happen, but maybe it's some sin in my life. And by the way, all of us sin, amen? So don't ever think, I'm a pastor. I know I have to get on my face and say, Lord, help me. Help me to live right, amen? And then the psalmist said in Psalm 13, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever, how long will thou hide thy face from me? Where are God? Where is God in the time that I need him? Jesus even said this from the cross. He never called him God, but on Calvary he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Y'all know the story. So if Jesus felt like that way, what about you and me? Let me give you 3 points today why God won't never leave you. And you need to mark it down and put it in your bank, because God will never leave, forsake, desert, or abandon you. Amen? Number one, God said, I will never leave you. You can bank on it. God cannot lie. So if he said it, you can bank on him. You know, people say it like this. God said it, I believe, and it's true. Let me say, well, you believe it or not, it's still true. God said it, and it's still true. Amen? Be strong. He told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. He told Joshua, when you go into the Canaan land, I need you to defeat the enemy. I will be with you. I will never fail you nor forsake you. The Lord wanted Joshua to build his faith. And then there's a term that we got during Christmas called Emmanuel. Emmanuel simply means God
with us. Amen. So let me tell you, if his name means he with us, he going to be with me. Amen. He going to be with me even until the end of the time. In other words, let me bring it to you real plain. I don't need a lot of money. I don't need a lot of prestige. I don't need a lot of power, but I do need Jesus. Amen. Because he can handle every situation I got. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to get in some situation that I out of my control. I'm going to get in some fear. People say all this time, you know, if I was in the Middle East and they brought a gun and put up and say, denounce Jesus, I would say, Jesus. Now, you don't know what you're going to say. Yeah, you don't know what you're going to say. You may get like me, get in the flesh and say, I don't know right now. But God is going to be with me. Amen. He's going to whip me. The Greek word for leave is abandonment. Have somebody abandon you. Never come back. Walk out of the house and say, I'm gone. Left you high and dry. No idea when they're going to come back. No idea. I told you about missing fathers and aging parents left alone. But I'm here to tell you, God will never, ever abandon you. God will never, ever leave you. God will never, ever desert you. You can bank on it. I got a God. In the military, they call her AWOL. Y'all know this story. We had them, what they call them, veteran dodgers. Or them, they were supposed to be going to Vietnam dodgers. You remember the draft dodger? AWOL. They signed up and they said, I'm going to Canada. Abandon. Abandon. God will never abandon a fugitive. Running around here with somebody else's ID. You know you ain't that person. Abandonment. Point number one, God will never leave you nor abandon you. Point number two is God wants you to have a exercise some courage and lay hold of his promises. See, God is not a Santa Claus. Oh, you don't mean preaching more. Well, you know, I've been good. No, God ain't a Santa Claus. We think God is a genie. You know how you have three wishes? No, God ain't no genie. God is not a Santa Claus. He's not a genie. He's not a puppet. You want God to do what you want him to do. No, he don't work like that. He's always present. Even, I want y'all to get here to some, when you sometimes go astray. You remember the prodigal son? Oh, yeah, he going to go down there and live it up, party. God was still, his father was the picture of God. He was still going out on the horizon every day looking for him. That's the God we got, amen? When you get out of kilter, God is still saying, you know what? I'm waiting on you to come home. What I like about that story is that when he came to himself, oh, that's repentance there. And by the way, Christians do that. You can get on them. I ain't God. I know what you said. I know it. And then one day it light go off and they said, you know, I'm wrong. Will God take me back? He got to take you back every time. People won't take you back, but God will take you back. I'm going to preach this message on the elder brother. You don't remember the elder brother. You always got an elder brother. I've been in church all this time. I ain't never missed Sunday school. I give my tithe. I've been here at every anniversary, at every vacation Bible school. And you ain't never gave me a party. And here's your son, your dirty son, went out and lived like a hog pen and lived with the prostitute and spent all your money. And then you gonna give him all that party. Daddy say, son, everything I have is yours. He should have known that. He should have known that. You've been sleeping up on the big cat palace. You been eating at the big table. You ain't did nothing to earn that. God gave to everything I had is yours. But your brother. Oh, you got to get this one. He was lost. Your brother. He was lost. But now he found. Killed a fatty calf. Put a ring on his finger. Put some shoes on his feet. My son. Oh. See, God never forsake them. I can see that old daddy. And by the way, you've been there. Your children have gone astray, wayward. You still praying for them. I can see the old daddy say, Lord, bro, take care of my child. Lord, I don't know what they're doing right now. I don't know about you, but there have been some time when God pressed on my heart at that moment. I need to be praying for my child. And somehow later on around, they called me and said, you know, I was almost in an accident. I said, oh, God told me to pray. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. See, God know what you're going through. People say all the time, well, my children don't live for the Lord. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with you. you can still pray for them. And by the way, how do you know that God ain't going to bring them back? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he old, he won't depart. Yeah, I hold on to that promise. Amen. God is faithful. The prodigal son was in the pig pen. Or maybe you don't remember Peter. Let me help you out. Peter was like me and you. Though everybody forsake you, won't be me. Yeah, them other disciples, they ain't got it together. I'm willing to go to Calvary with you. I'm willing to die. Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crowed twice, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me. Now, I'm not going to forsake you, but I'm going to deny me. Y'all know the story. Peter out there warming at the fire. You can tell when a Christian start getting way off, he won't come in with the rest of the Christians. He out there warming at the fire with the enemy. Somebody said, hey, you one of them. No. You got me mistaken. Don't you go to that church. No, not me. Didn't I say, no, not me. I had a preacher friend. I ain't going to call his name, but you know how you get into road rage? Some guy was on his tail. He pulled over and blinked his light. And then the guy on the tail pulled over. He jumped out of the car and ran up to the car and said, the guy said, ain't you a preacher? He said, I was at the... You know how that sheep look came over? I'm sorry. Got in the flesh. You need to be very careful. You need to be very careful. People are watching you. Amen? We need to realize that Peter denied him. That last time when Jesus was there being mocked, getting ready to be crucified, he looked at Peter. Not really rebuked, just loved on him. Said, Peter, don't you remember what I told you? The Bible said Peter went out and cried like a baby. He cried. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Lord, you've been so good to me. And I messed up. Lord, I should have not let that bother me. I let it bother me. I should have been stronger, and I'm not stronger. Like Paul said, I'd rather glory in my weakness that the power of God may rest on me. I can't, you know, you want God to get that thorn off your flesh, and leave it alone. That thorn, his grace is sufficient. Amen? God is faithful. Did you hear me? The Bible says in Revelation 1, and for Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, one his name. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let me tell you, God is faithful. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. Don't everybody leave you. You still got God. Still got God on your side. Amen. Just to reassure people, I'm getting ready for Easter coming up. When the angel showed up to Mary Magdalene, they said, go tell his disciples and Peter. Now, he didn't call nobody else's name because he knew what Peter would do. People moping around, I done messed up. He said, no, Peter, I ain't never forsake you. Now, you might have forsaken me, but I ain't forsake you. I don't know what you knew. Well, you know the rest of the story, but Peter got bold after that. Peter said, wait a minute, the day of Pentecost? He said, what? They said about 120 people in the room. Peter got up and in that Galilean preaching. Let me tell you, that's an old country folk preaching. He preached like an old fisherman. He began to tell them, Jesus is the Lord. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one. And boy, the Bible said, the Bible took the words of Peter and translated in their own dialect, in their own language. Y'all know the story. And Peter preached a message. And I want you to hear me now. 5,000 people got saved. The same one that rejected him. So you need to remember, God wants you to exercise a little courage. Not like the lion in the Wizard of Oz. Y'all know the lion, he ain't got no courage. Everybody, you know, Scarecrow didn't have a brain. Tin Man didn't have a heart. And then this guy come out there with roar, roar, doing all that. Like he, you know, like, by the way, did you know that the devil's like that? He's a roaring lion. But I want you to hear me. The Bible says he's been toothless. He got, so he'll roar. And he's like, you ever seen one of them dogs, them big old dogs, roar, and then you get up on him. You know? So you need to realize Satan don't have no power. He's been rendered powerless. And that big old lion, and doctor slapped him, he started crying. He said, I ain't got no courage. Scarecrow looked at each other. Now, he ain't got no brain either. Now, I can figure this one out. This big old fur animal acting like a big old puppy. And they had to take him to get some courage. You know, we need to exercise a little courage. Yeah. By the way, I want you to know the Christian life is a life of courage. Everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody ain't going to want you to stand up and tell them the truth. So when you stand up, you have to have some courage. Now, do it in love, but do it in courage. Amen? So God wants you to exercise a little courage. Like I said, not like the cowardly lion. God promised that he's going to be with us. He's going to be faithful. You have two men in the Bible. I told you about God is not going to bless sin. They were Christian, but they messed around and got into sin. One of them was Samson. You know the story. Samson, God never forsook him, but Samson turned away from God and became a womanizer. Y'all know the story. And Samson gonna get down there with Delilah. By the way, don't ever think you can't meet your match. He might have been a lady man for all them years, but Delilah had some on him. She has so you know, you always got, I'm the man, you ain't the man nowhere. You know, I can, no, you, even the con man, that's somebody out there con you. Delilah set him up and told him, if you love me, you tell me where you're straight. Now, you knew something was wrong with that. And he gonna tell all somebody that had born a Nazarite, made a vow when he was a child. Mom and daddy, the Lord appeared to her. And then he gonna get up there and tell her everything. She took, called a Philistine, said, bring me that 1,100 pieces of silver. She was about the money. But I want you to hear me well. But as he was blind, grinding at the mill, he began to pray. Oh, y'all ain't hear me here. Now that's what I'm telling you about. A lot of people don't realize. Now, if the man still was in the hair, every time a strain come about, I shaved it. But they forgot. They forgot. She cut his hair. His hair began to grow. And he began to say, Lord, I know I messed up. I like that song. He's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of a thousand chances. Let me tell you, I know I messed up. But Lord, if you would, give me strength back just one more time. Oh, he won't forsake you. He won't forsake you. If you give me my strength back just one more time, Lord. What I like about it, and I'm an engineer, so you know, I studied Coliseum and Museum. They had 3,000 Philistines on the top of the roof. And they had these big pillows in the Coliseum. And they brought Samson out to make sport. Y'all know the story. Not knowing. Setting himself up for death. And I could see Samson talking to himself, thank you, Lord. Could you show me where the two pillows are? That the whole cathedral, by the way, that's called a cornerstone. That's where everything hold on there. Could you show them to me? Little old boy, could you show them to me? The boy said, and then he began to feel around. He said, oh, by the way, he was even-handed. He had just so much strength in the left and the right. And then he began to push, and they made mockery, not knowing. Look at Samson over there trying to move them tons of, not knowing God was finna say, I'm finna do something with Samson. Samson might have messed up, but he finna be redeemed. Samson might have didn't do right, and he only lived 20. He might have could have lived more, but Samson began to push, and then they began to. Then all of a sudden, that's what I like about the Bible, talking about sudden destruction. They ain't have time. It's just like when God opened up the flood. When the flood came from the bottom to the top, they ain't have time to go. They all drowned. Boom! Samson, God restored him. So let me tell you, God won't forsake you. You might mess up. You might mess up, but God promises is always experience his presence. Even in suffering. Even in divorce, even in losing your job, even in hardship, even in death, God won't leave you. This guy said he was talking to this little girl. Their mama died, and she was riding in the car with him. And he said, Dad, I just don't understand. Why did mama die? He said, by that time, a big old transfer truck passed him, and the shadow of the truck leaned over the car. He said, God gave him an example. He said, let me ask you something. Would you rather been hit by that truck or the shadow? She said, the shadow. He said, that's all hit your mama. I walk through the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Or you can just ask Lazarus. See, Lazarus was in the tomb there for 4 days, and Martha said, oh, Lord, you don't want to call him. He's stinking. Rick and Marcus said, and Jesus said, hold on a minute. I am the resurrection. She said, oh, what you talking about? I resurrected in the last day. He said, you ain't got it yet. I am right now, brother. I am. I can't see it. I don't know. He said, I tell you what, move the stone away. And y'all know the story. If he hadn't called Lazarus, named the whole graveyard would have got up. Lazarus! Lazarus, come forth. The Bible said, him that was bound. That's what, when we get saved, we have them grave clothes on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So when a person gets saved, they come into church like they're bound, you have to tell them, loose him. Loose him. And let him go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let them realize that, yeah, that's some things they got to drop off. And they're going to drop off if you let the Holy Spirit. Nobody had to tell me to pour out my liquor. The Holy Spirit will tell you. Then nobody had to tell me to hide them phone numbers of them girls I had. The Holy Spirit to tell me. See, nobody had to tell me to stop going to the club, to stop drinking. Nobody had to tell me that. Then nobody had to tell me to stop. Oh, you don't want to hear them cussing. Oh, you didn't cuss. Yeah, every now and then. You know, I'm a good boy. I only cuss once. But you know, cussing is wrong, period. The Bible say one levy the whole lump. You always tell these people, say, I ain't that bad. You bad. You just like everybody else. Amen? God promises God will always act in courage. There's a man in the Bible called Gideon. Oh, y'all don't know the story of Gideon. Gideon was out threshing wheat up under the wine press. Now, you don't never thresh wheat up under the wine press because you want the chaff to blow away, but he was hiding from the enemy. And God came by and said, thou mighty man of valor. Who? That's us. Who you talking to? Gideon, you might. And then he do what we say. Lord, I'm poor. My family the poorest folks in the world. You know how we blame for God. You can't use me. I ain't got no money. You know, I grew up in the hood. I tell people when I preach, you know, we lived in the project. Yeah, I lived in the project. I lived in Tulane Co. Yeah, and then we had a shotgun house. Yeah, but guess what? God said, I can still use you. I can still use you. God can still use you. God told Gideon, said, Gideon, you got too many men. Gideon said, they got 144,000 Philistines. I ain't got but 32,000. You got too many. God, that don't make sense. He said, look, you got too many. He said, now, if I'm going to be with you, you need to send some of them home. He said, tell those ones that are fearful to go home. 10,000 men left. All you got to do is say, hey, any of y'all want to go home? Yeah, I go. I want to go to Iraq. I want to go home. I want to go home. God said, You still got too many. God, we done dropped down 10,000. God, you still got too many. God said, I'm going to take you through a test. I'm going to take you down to the water. And when you get down to the water, those that lap water like a dog. See, I don't know if you ever seen a deer, but when the lion is on the deer trace, he'll never stop looking. He drinking water with one eye and looking with another eye. And he said, when you get those men down now, he said, but all the rest of them, go down there and just drink. Let them go home. And all would be somebody say, oh, ah! He said, you send them on home. God said, you got 300. God wrought a victory. God said, I will never forsake or leave you. Oh, let me give you one more. Caleb. See, Caleb had said we could take the giants, but they went against him. Him and Joshua were the only two. Y'all remember the story? So he had to walk, oh, y'all want to hear me well now, for 40 years faithful with all the rebellious folk. So don't get excited because you say, ain't nobody living for the Lord. Well, look, you still live for the Lord. And then when they got into the land, by the way, the only two that went over, that was over 90, or over 19, was Caleb and Joshua. When they got into the land, he got to the Mount Hebron. He said, Lord, I'm 85. Oh, by the way, don't use age on me, okay? He was 85. Yeah. You know what he said? Just as it was 40 years ago. When I came over and saw the land, and I said, let's take it. He said, I'm just as strong today as I was then. And then he made the statement, give me my mountain. God gave it to him. He went in and slew some more giants. Let me tell you, God ain't gonna never forsake you. That's David. God ain't gonna forsake you. God gonna be with you. Everybody, what I like about David, this ain't even a mess. I just thought about that. When you want to do something, sometimes your own family don't understand. David gonna go in his oldest brother. What are you doing here? I know your pride. It's always somebody who don't understand. Why can't you let me just be myself? And David didn't even answer. He says, there's not a cause. Somebody ought to do something. Yeah, I mean, you can call me name. You can talk about me. You know, but you know what? I'm going to go anyway. And then he looked at that old giant and said, you uncircumcised Philistine, you're going to fall today. God was with him. God was with him, man. We need to trust God. Point number one, God will never leave or forsake you. Point number two, we need to exercise courage. And point number three, this one you need to get. You need to continue to practice Christian virtues and discipline. See, sometimes people stop praying when God is silent. You need to keep on praying. Sometimes people stop coming to church when they're in trial. You need to keep on coming to church. Sometimes people stop singing in the choir. Oh, y'all don't mean to preach this morning. They get mad at God. I ain't singing no more. There was a preacher. I'm talking about a preacher. Had a niece die. She was only about 13 years old, and he used to play the piano. And for 3 months, he didn't even play the piano. And it just so happened God touched another preacher, and he said, you know what? God spoke to me while I was praying last night and told me you need to go back in. He said, don't you play the piano? Now, he didn't even know how he knew. He said, yeah, I used to. He said, well, maybe you need to go back and strike a note again. And he said, God used that man because he was in the wilderness. And he quit. Let me tell you, don't quit when the times get tough. Don't quit coming to church. Don't quit praying. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit witnessing, because God will not forsake you. So don't matter how much the devil throw at you, keep serving God. Keep deaconing God. Keep ushering. Keep taking up money. Keep doing what God wants you to do. I hope that I used to, when I was growing up, and I used to see these old men, and they be in the club. You know how that used to bother me, because I say, I don't want to be 80 years old down here trying to be 15 years old. And then God, when I got saved, God said, you can serve me till you die. I was like, oh, praise the Lord. I want to be serving God. And by the way, one of my preachers, for a matter of fact, that's how we got deacon here, came down with Alzheimer's. And I went to see him in the nursing home, and he didn't know where he was. And I said one thing about it. He served God to the end. Amen. Amen? So we need to serve God. Don't quit. Practice discipline your night. Keep on reading. Keep on having your devotion. Keep on meditating. Keep on serving. Remember the good time. This too will pass. Let me tell you, nothing lasts forever. It's going to pass. It may look like it's going to last forever, but it's going to pass like everything else. Amen? Maybe a season in your life. Maybe a time that you have to carry the cross. Look like by yourself. But God is walking with you. He's behind the scene. Like I said, a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. You need to study all these, and we're studying a little bit about Black history, but all these people who invented things, they didn't invent it the first time. They kept on. Never quit. Never quit. Keep on doing. Keep on doing. He will never abandon you. He will make his presence known. It will come full circle. It may seem like he's silent, but at the end, he will show up and show out. Amen? God's going to do that. Remember, God is faithful. The Bible says, exercise faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. No, I can't see it, but I know he's there. I ain't never seen Jesus, but I know he's real. I ain't never been to heaven, but I know they got streets of gold. I ain't never, let me tell you, I do everything by faith. I know God. Matter of fact, our preacher preached that at the anniversary. You remember me preaching that anniversary? He said his son went off to college, and the professor told him, you need to come up with some signs of God exists. So he said they was coming up with all this stuff where the sun and so many men. He said, why don't you just tell the professor on your paper, by faith? Amen. Now, he probably would have got an F on that one. But, but let me tell you, all the stuff that we try to say God exists, is not. It don't do justice. The only way I know God exists is because he resurrected in my life. Yes. That's how I know. See, you can be in church all your life, but when God make it real in your life, then you know he's real. Like the song says, Jesus is real. He's real in my soul. Deep down in my soul. And it's always blessing your heart. Because I never forget when I got saved. You know how you be working around people all your life and they never said nothing about Jesus? And I got saved and I went to work. I thought 10 people, I got saved, I received Jesus. And then some Christians showed up. I thought, oh, y'all. but they had then got carnal. They was just saying, well, you know, this is department, this is a job. I don't say it. So I started a Bible study on my job at lunchtime. And these engineers brought Bibles to work. Blew me out of the water. And they said, I'm so glad you started a Bible study. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. So let me tell you, God is with you. God, and I'm going to show you how God worked. I started a Bible study way down in Spring City and ended up got moved back to Chattanooga. And then one day I got an email and a guy said, is this Mr. Jeter? I said, yes. I was a new convert at Wasabar Spring City when you started a Bible study. And I just want to thank you. Yeah. You ever had that? Because you don't never know who you minister. He said, I just got saved. And I remember coming to your Bible study. And he said, now it's been 10, 15 years. And I want you to know I'm still walking with the Lord. And I say, praise the Lord. That would always shock you when people say, are you that person? And then you say, I don't remember. He said, well, I remember you. I was on Southern Bell. They got a boat that go around. And I gave an invitation and some kids came up and got saved. And I forgot about it. Then I went to a church. And this young man, he was a young man in his 20s, was giving his testimony. And he said, and it was 10 or 15 years ago, Mr. Jeter right there was on the boat crew, and he gave an invitation. And I came and gave my life to him, and I almost fell out because I didn't even know. You know what I'm talking about? So look, don't give up. God is with you, amen? He will never abandon you. He will always be with you. When you can't see his hand, trust his heart. Oh, we hear that all the time. But let me hear that. You ain't going to see everything because you can't see. You have to see with the spiritual eye. The spiritual eye can't see everything. You can't see what's going on in the hospital room. You can't see what's going on in the nursing. You can't see what's going on in your family life. I remember when my daughter was getting married. I couldn't see. And I said, Lord, I don't know. He said, well, don't you trust me. So see, you can't see everything. And by the way, don't ever think you got the key because you don't. You don't. God had to sit me down a lot of time and say, get out of the way because I'm going to do this. So look, we need to learn how to trust God. Keep on believing. God will never, won't you hear me? I don't care what you want. I don't care how rough. You know, and I'm getting up in age, like we always heard about the testimony finna get on Social Security. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know how you get up in age and you start, your back start going out, you know what I'm talking about. And you start having to look at it. Don't matter how I had a preacher. Heart bypass. When they put him to sleep, he starts singing Amazing Grace. And they didn't realize, and when he woke up in the recovery room, the nurse said, you just sung Amazing Grace the whole time. He said, I was just thinking about the Lord. So don't matter where you at, God is with you. And you know this, let me say this before I close. The most time that you realize this is when you're by yourself. See, when you're late at night in the midnight hours, when you tossing and turning, crying because all the trouble in y'all. You know what I'm talking about? God is with you. And when God wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, thank you, Jesus. You know what I begin? My daughter called me this day. She couldn't go to sleep. And Milton said, who there? I said, that's Nika. I said, Nika, start praying. Start ringing your bell. See, one thing the devil hate for you to start praying and talking about Jesus. And guess what? You'll go back to sleep. You go back to sleep. I can't sleep. Do like the king. Y'all remember Esther? The king had insomnia. In other words, he had an upset stomach. And he couldn't go to sleep. And they brought him the Chronicles. And he began to read. And he saw in there with Mordecai. Now, what in the world was he doing reading that? Because God wasn't going to let him sleep until he got it right. This ain't in my message. I hate to hold you, but Haman thought he had it together. See, don't ever think your enemy's got it. He couldn't wait. I can't go into the king. I'm going to get that gallows. I can't go. I can't wait to go in. The king called him and said, Haman, come on in here. Haman, hold on before you say something. What would you do for a man that the king want to exalt? Oh, he must be talking about me. What would you do? And you know how when we lavish ourselves, put him on the king meal. Put the king crown on his head. Put one of the king's robe on his head. And then have a man carry him through the city on a mule. And say, this is the man that the king want to exalt. He said, oh, that's a great idea. Now, I want you to take that and do the Mordecai. Enemy. That's why Jesus said, in the psalm that he'll lay a plate before you, before your enemies. He'll do for, here this man walking through the city, got a man on the horse who he want to kill. God finna reverse it. God never forsake you. You know the story. Haman goes home and his wife say, I guess it's over. You ain't gonna win now. The tables done turned. Before he could get back in there, the fifth pulled him back. And Esther said, that adversary, Haman. So let me tell you, stop trying to take care of your enemy. God will take care of him. When people do you wrong, just keep on trucking. Keep on trucking. And do this. Do like Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. I know you thought I was going to get out of that pit. I know you thought you had forgot about me. I know you thought I was down. My wife said this to me sometimes. I'm just saying this. I wouldn't say nobody else. She said, people come to and say, how y'all doing? She said, we doing great. I guess you thought I was going to fall off the boat somewhere. I guess you thought because you wouldn't care me. I'm doing great because I got a great God. He still paying my bill. I ain't missed a meal. I paid my mortgage, y'all. I'm telling you, God is good. Gave me another job. Let me tell you, he will never, ever forsake me. So I can go to sleep at night. I don't have to worry no more. You keep your mind on him, he'll give you perfect peace. You ever sleep sometime and can't get up? Just, what time is it? It's time to get up. Oh, shoot, I was sound asleep. And then people tell you, it stormed last night. It did? It did? The trees down. What? It did? I ain't heard nothing because God gave us peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the message today, Lord. Thank you for letting us realize that you will never leave us, Lord. Lord, we have so many people in our lives, especially in the Afro-American community, Lord. We have so many kids and so many wives who have suffered because men have stood up to the plate and did all what you do. But Lord, we forgive them. But we pray now, Lord, that we will realize that you is the greatest father. You are the greatest friend. You are the greatest Messiah. You will never leave us or reject us or abandon us. And we're so grateful. Now, Lord, as we get an invitation, we pray that you touch people's heart, draw them into yourself before it's ever too late. In Jesus' name.